Okay, fine. So last time we did, if you remember, the last thing we did is Rambam and Rambam divides the four different types of stories that you find in Gemara. Just to go over them quickly, one, sort of boring, right? Not like boring, but like doesn't take much analysis at this level, is stories that teach you halacha, right? Like some of the stories we're talking about is, this was the halacha, look, this guy did it, hey, that's the halacha, right? That's level one. No, not drasha, like, Beis Hillel sat in this sukkah. That must be the type of sukkah you need. Shama, right, whatever. Or not Beis Hillel, Hillel, the person, fine. Second one are stories that teach you good midot, bad midot. We're just going back to where we were on the fifth and sixth page here in the Rambam and Rambam. If whoever still has it, you still have it.
Six out of nine.
Good. Stories of good or bad midot. The third are ones about Ikari Emunah. And then the fourth are stories of miracles that people did, which he said the point is to teach you that certain people were great people and they did miracles. Okay, that's the point of it. Then he gets to Achilek HaShini. This is the bottom of the page 6, if you still have it. Says, okay. Ma'asiyot sheniru v'iru bahem b'chalom, v'zachorot ha'maloshon tzachu pashut l'datam, ki evshar sheyitet bahem bal seichel ubina. There's a whole other story. It's the bottom of page 6. It says in the bottom pages. Right now, bottom page 6. So he said, these are, the first four were stories that happened. Right? But then he said, there are stories that happened, and then there are stories that never happened, but are still in the Gemara. Like what? So this is a classic move by the Rambam, that the Rambam uses on Tanakh all the time, and Rav Avraham and Rambam uses it on Gemara, which is, if you read a story in the Gemara, and it sounds too fantastic to be true, so, according to, what is the Rambam or Avraham and Rambam's go-to move?
It's not true.
Right?
Literally.
It's not literally true. Right? Now, so then in what sense did it happen? It was a dream. It was a dream, right? This is the Rambam's like favorite move. The Rambam does this all the time. The Rambam says this about a lot of things. The Rambam says this about the beginning of Parshas Vayera, right? The three Malachim who went to Avram. He says, Malachim don't have bodies. It's a dream. So in a dream, they could have bodies. Big deal, right? Parshas Balak. There's a talking donkey. Donkeys don't talk. That sounds like a movie by Pixar. Shine, it's a dream. Right? Please, I really do hope that people got that reference to Pixar. Good, good, okay. What?
I said, and in the morning, I'm making waffles.
Good. So Rambam and Rambam says, so there's four groups of stories that actually happen. Right? Then there are stories that are too fantastic to be true. They're written... He says, they're written as if they happened. The same way if you were telling over a dream, right? Yeah, you don't say, well, as we all know, this is impossible, but last night I had a dream where kivyachol, I was flying, right? No, you say, I had a dream and I was flying, right? Everyone understands you weren't actually flying, right? Right? They might ask you, so why do you think you were flying? What were you thinking about yesterday? What movie were you watching? What did you smoke before you went to sleep? Whatever they're going to ask you, right? Right? Yeah, whatever they are. Okay. So what example does he give? So he gives an example that was made into a song. Right? He gives an example that was made into a song by Avram Fried. Right? I don't know why this was made into a song. It's not totally clear to me. And why the song's name is Tanya. But it is, right? Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shmuel, right? Amar Rabbi Shmuel, right? In the Gemara, it's Ben Elisha. Pam achgas nechtasti lefnai, lach yoktores lefnai v'lefnim, right? Right? It's this like slow song, right? I'm not going to sing it and embarrass myself, honestly. Do I need to play it for you so you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no.
But, so it's an old song by Avram Fried, which, let's see. Tanya.
So if it's too good to be true, it's a dream.
Right. Now, what happens in that song?
What's the end of it?
So, all right. So, what happens in that song? Right. This is what. There's a brisa that Avram Fried said, right, sings it in a song. That the Kohen Gadol, Yishmael ben Elisha, says, I once went to bring the Ktores in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and I saw a Katriel, the Malach.
This is
no words yet.
Yes, there are no words.
Let me see if I get it.
Lehakim kitavoydes lifnai
Philly Flynn.
Right, so then what does he do?
Then we see our Cassidy.
Right, so he says, I came in. Right, so why does he think this is a dream? Because it gets really weird. He brings the Ktores, and he goes in, and he sees Akatriel, the Malach. And what does he say to Akatriel? Or what does Akatriel say to him? What does he say to him? What? Right now, Akatriel, first of all, is the Malach that represents God himself. And what does he say to him? I'm just jumping around. What? This on what? It's YouTube. What? Again, I don't know why this made the song, right? But he says to him, he says, Yishmael, my son, Barcheni, give me a bracha. So Yishmael says to Akatriel, in the name of God, God, I bless you that your midot harachamim overpower your midot hadin. And he nodded his head and said, Amen. Okay, shtickle. I mean, it makes for a great song, I guess. But Rav Avraham Ben Rambam says, that is a dream. That is a dream, right? That happened in a dream. I don't know exactly what it means. And he says, and then he continues, he says, V'kazeb et varehem b'harbeh mikomot, k'mokein v'masiyot shezachu b'hem marot ha'nevi'im shdiberamehem. He said, this is in a lot of stories, and quoting his father, right, or indicating his father, this is true of many stories in Navi.
So
yeah.
Are there, I don't know very much are there places in the Gemara where it says this was a dream?
No. No, that's the point. But does it say it's a dream? Enough.
If it does, then it wouldn't make sense.
Right. No, so the Rambam, he assumes, and he says, and then he says, Ukumo Masya. What? This is Rambam Ben Rambam. The Rambam says it all the time about Tanakh. Right, he says, Kumo Masya Chizachru Behem Shedim. So now he makes it easy. He says, you know, all those stories about demons, all of them. Right? Right. It's very easy. They're dreams. In dreams, okay, so there are demons and they have webbed feet and whatever. It's all a dream. V'arosh ein libo imo sheyachshov kim dvarim ayu ba'olam kamo shenechdevu. He says, people she'ein libo imo. What does that mean?
They don't have true hearts.
Yeah, meaning they don't really have a head, right? They don't really know anything, so they think it's true. V'yavo lachshov la'min davar nimna she'ev shar vel chayav. They think that the impossible is necessary. You see that he's his father's son. He says this happens because of their utter lirov ptiato, their extreme naivete and stupidity, right? Miud yudioto, their extreme lack of knowledge, right, in the natures of the world. Or the way his rabbis talk, or the neviim talk. The nevuah that they just write simply about dreams, right, as if they happened. And then what my father already said in the Mor Nevuchim. Okay, so far in terms of the stories in Tanakh, there's the four groups of stories that actually happened, right? Halachic stories, ethical stories, moral stories, and certain miraculous stories. There's the second group, which are too fantastic to be true, and if it's too fantastic to be true, it probably is, right? And those are the dreams. It's probably fantastic, right?
Who decides that?
Yeah, that's the kasha, right? He doesn't tell you, right? And this is why a lot of people didn't like the Rambam, right? A lot of the people didn't. Now, right, Yaakov hits the nail on the head that the reason a lot of people didn't like the Rambam is because once you open the Pandora's box and say it can be allegorical, it can be a dream, so then they say, right, and there were certain people that they really didn't like in the medieval period, they said, well, once you say that, so why limit it to the talking donkey and Bilam? Why don't you say about Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Yitzchias Mitzrayim, and Matan Torah? Right? Right?
The Rambam holds it didn't have that.
No, I didn't say that. But people said, once you open up the Pandora's box, right, where are you going to stop? But the problem is, just because it's hard to figure out which is which, that doesn't mean that some of them aren't dreams. Yeah, they're both. It's both a legitimate criticism, and it also might be true that certain things, in fact, happened. Right? I mean, both of those could be true. Right? It could be that some are dreams, and it could be that once you say some are dreams, it's hard to figure out which are and which aren't. And it could still be true, right, that some of them are dreams. Right? Those aren't contradictory. Okay, that's group two. Group three, the Rambam says, are Ma'asiyot shiru ba'olam kimoshe nichtivu ela shedibru behem lashon havai l'da'atam. Right? The third group, and this is something that people make mistakes about all the time, right? Things that actually happened, but Chazal wrote it in exaggerated form. Right? So, first group are things that happen as it is written. Second group are totally, they're dreams, and they mean something, right, allegorically, or who knows what. The third group are things that actually happened, but you get thrown off because there are exaggerations built into it. Right? And he says, Ki lo yateh bal seicha mehem divrei havai. Right? And he says, why? Now, again, this is part of the Rambam and Rambam's elitism. And he says, why is that legitimate? Because every smart person knows what hyperbole is when he sees it. Right? You see hyperbole, no one's going to think it's literal. So he said, therefore, Chazal gave themselves poetic license, just like we all do.
But
right?
It's more than Chazal.
Right? I haven't slept in a million years. Right? Whatever, you know.
That's
right?
Starving.
Yes, that's hyperbole. It's called exaggeration. I'm starving, yes. Okay. I'm dying. I'm dying of thirst.
I'm so dead right now.
Right? Yeah. Right? We all speak this way. And he says, the Gemara says in Tamid, right? And he says, the Gemara says this explicitly in Tamid. Dibra Torah Lashon Havai. The Torah speaks in exaggeration. Dibru Nevi'im Lashon Havai. The Nevi'im do Dibru Chachamim Lashon Havai. And the Gemara does. So what's the example? Divrei Torah Lashon Havai. Arim Gdolot V'Tzorot Hashamayim. The Psukim talk about it. Big cities, they go up to heaven. They don't literally go up to heaven. Right? They're just big. Right? But in English, we do this too. What do we call really big buildings?
Skyscrapers!
Nobody thinks, oh, right, no one starts asking kashas, well, why is it that we don't have to go and mend the heavens because it scraped it? Why does it need a band-aid? Like, what? Like, right, everyone understands. He says, it's not like a, right? And he says, Dibru Nevi in B'lishon Havai V'tibla Kaha Aretz L'Kolam. Right? In Navi, you find it. The earth split, right? Because of the noise, right? We say this all though, right? Ear splitting, right? Sounds, right? It's not literally splitting your ears, right? What?
I know someone.
I mean,
splitting a headache.
Yes, that's fine.
Wow, this is splitting my brain into.
Dibru Chachamim L'Shon Havai Tapuach V'Gevin Uparoch. Fine. And then he says, look, in the Mishnah, there aren't so many. But he says, "Kibet Talmud yimtza havai le'ein mispar," right? Shlo yimne, right? Right? He says in the Gemara, don't even try to list all the times as hyperbole, right? Because there is no limit, right? Havai ein mispar, right? It's all the time. And he gives an example, and he says, "Here's a good example, right? For all the people that quote this as if it actually happened." Rav Ramam loves this. He said, "Classic example. You all know this Gemara." The Gemara in Megillat Daf Zayin, that Rava got so drunk on Purim that he shechted Reb Zeira and then he was Machaye Mesim. Right? So he says, you didn't know that, right? So that he says, it doesn't mean he killed him. It means he was shikker out of his mind. He knocked him out. He hurt him really badly, right? And then he was close to death, right? And then he healed. Right, and maybe he hit him in the neck, maybe in the head, right? And he got better.
Then when they want to talk about like getting drunk, they say it as if he actually died and was brought back.
Correct, right? And that's the second example, right? All these stories, he looked at him, he scared him, he whatever, and he died, right? And then he davened for him and he came back to life. Okay. Right, he buried him and he died. Right, he says, he didn't really die. Okay. Then he says, that's level three. Okay, then he says, Achelek Yerevi'i, skipping down, he says, Hei ma'asiyot shiru be'emet, ele shedibru otam b'tavnit, mashel v'chida, be'ilu nitbalein shel be'er inyanim l'chol adam b'cholo, ad shekitbonein b'tzurat ma'aseh chocham anavon, yimineu v'yida kavanato v'yireb b'pshad ma'asiyot me'chelek hazeh, dvarim na'im nechmadim. So this is the most difficult area to understand. Level four are things that actually happened, but nevertheless, Chazal presented as a mashal. Okay? Right? And therefore, even at the pshat, you can get value at it. Right? So, like, you have this sometimes. Like, stories actually happen, but then they become... They become mishalim. Right? So, let's say, which probably didn't happen, let's say it did happen, that George Washington cut down his father's cherry tree, right? And didn't lie about it. I'm sorry if you don't understand that reference. Okay? What?
That's like kindergarten reference.
Yes. And I was talking to Donnie, because I assume they don't talk about this in Belgium.
Donnie
right?
is like a master of history.
Does he know American history? Whatever. Right? He said, even if it happened, naniach it happened, right? It then becomes a mashal, right? You have stories that might actually be true, and they function at the level of mashal, right? Right, and then he said there are other things where their impossibility is obvious, right? And then you'll only understand they're mashal. Right, so now what does he say? Right, so he says, look, he gives examples, but he says things that are impossible, right, you know that they're only a mashal. Right, stories that are totally impossible. So then, right, he says, "Hine pshat ha-maaseh," without going to the Gemara, he says, right, "Hine pshat ha-maaseh nimna mniya gemura al chol baal seichel ubina." V'nyano lefi nireh, etc., etc. Then he explains what it means. Right, he brings one example of a story, which everybody knows is impossible. It can't actually be that it happened. So then you know it's just a pure mashal.
But if you're saying some stories are literally like nisim happened, then why can you say this one?
Yeah, it's very hard because right once you say that it could be that some of them are miracles, correct? Right, why could it be? Right, look, I mean, his example is one where like Shlomo has a conversation with the Malach HaMaves, right? Now, again, where you draw the line with a possible miracle and one that it's not, you know, I don't know. Then he said, right, certain things, right, they might be a mashal, but they could also be true, or they did happen and they act as a mashal. And then he says, "V'al titma." This is the top of the eighth page. He says, "V'al titma mebnei zochrim achaim azal b'dvarehem asiyot v'agadot shekulam echlam mishalim v'chidot ve'einam al pi pshutam shareihem zal mefarshim psukim v'dvarehem al derech zeh." And he said, "Don't be upset, right? Some people, he said, don't be astonished if I say that things are mashalim. Because he said, look, you know, Chazal themselves do this to the Nevi'im, right? Meaning, it's the notion that something can be written allegorically is well accepted, right? Meaning, it's not crazy. And then he quotes his father, right, who said this. Okay, I'm going to skip down. Right now, and he just says, right, things which are mashalim, what's the point of them? Teach your lesson. Right? Teach your lesson.
Ideas, yeah.
Yeah, ideas, something. Okay.
True ideas.
Then he says, the most complicated ones, at the end he calls, a drashot murkavot. He says, Vida, kichena drashot nimtzei murkavim. There are some which are complex. Ratzalomar kimtza drash murkav mishnei chalakim o yoter v'dimeyon ha-masem murkav mishnei chalakim o yoter v'masham ru b'chagigah. Sometimes you'll have one which is made up of multiple parts. Right? And then he gives an example. Right, Tana Rabbanan, Maaseh B'Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Rochi V'Chamor V'Yotzei Mirushalayim, V'Elazar Ben Arach, Achrav L'Motar Amipiv. B'Yochanan Ben Zakkai was riding on a donkey, and he left Yerushalayim, and V'Elazar Ben Arach followed him to learn Torah. Amar Leish, Anili Perek Achad Maaseh Merkava. So he said, teach me some philosophy in Maaseh Merkava, right, you know, about the nature of God. Amar Leish, V'lo Kach Nid Lachem, V'lo Merkava B'Yachid, Ela Imkein Ayachachem Mevin Medato V'Chulei Ad Yetzei Mimichal Atzecha. Right, he said, didn't I teach you that I'm not allowed to teach my Merkava unless you're wise, and then I'm going to teach the one people, etc., etc. Right? So he says, all this, right, all of that is fine, right? It teaches philosophy.
No, I love that.
Right? Well, or right, but then it goes on to teach Merkava. Right? And then what happens, the rest of the story, which he doesn't quote all of it, so he starts teaching Maaseh Merkava, and fire comes down from heaven, and you know, the angels start singing, and birds that are flying overhead are incinerated into flames, right, and all types of fun things, right? So he says that one's a bit complicated because the beginning probably happened just as it was, right? They were on the way, and someone said, "Teach me some Torah, teach me some philosophy." He said, "Sure," right, and then. Right? Once you start getting to what exactly he taught him, and you have angels, whatever, and fire surrounding them, and right, that part is probably a dream, a mashal, who knows.
Can you be like explaining what he taught him? Just like in a
Exactly, but he's saying that one, right? You know, it's hard to figure out how much of it is, right? So he says this one you could really get up to like four different ways, right? There's the beginning, which is he asked him, which might have happened in reality, and then when he tells him about Merkava, maybe that's what he saw in a dream, and then when he talks about, right, the Malachim, maybe that's you know, a mashal, or maybe it's what he saw in a dream, right? But it has to be some sort of secret. Right, so right, you can have complicated stories, and that's also fine. And he says, if you skip down, he says, why did I bring an example of each of this? Right, why did I go through this painstaking process? Right, which we're now at the end of. Right, why did I try to explain it so you'll understand? Ki yadati ki lo yikshei acharei zot ala mevin kira drashim haseh shenu sheidavi edin meizachelek humeachelekim shazacharno. Now this is where I don't agree with the Rav and the Rambam at all. So because now that I've explained it to you, you can look at any Agadah and it'll be obvious to you which group it belongs to. Right? It's just obvious now.
You guys didn't like pick up like that little like,
that's it, right? Uvaze yimaleit nafsho mi and because of this, I will protect your soul from saying things which are incorrect. Prevent you from saying what the Karaites say or those heretics say. Oshid Bab Naim. And you won't end up thinking that the impossible is possible and that things that happened. And then you'll end up denying God by thinking he has a body. Right? Right?
Like Uncle Moshe.
No, not like Uncle God. No, like Rav Moshe Taku. Okay? Not Uncle Moshe. He's a very sweet man. Okay?
You can be a sweet man and also believe God is physical.
They're all from Toronto. They're all sweet men. Okay?
They're all Canadians.
They are all very nice. Okay? Stop with the... I get you don't like the song Hashem is here, Hashem is there. I get it. But first of all, that doesn't imply that God has a body. It just implies panentheism. Or pantheism.
We saw the back of his tongue. Of course, it has to imply physicality.
Pantheism, panentheism, whatever.
That is physical.
Hashem is here, Hashem is there.
Yes.
Hashem is everywhere.
Yes.
Those are places.
Oh, maybe it's Bederach Mashal. Oh, I don't know. Right, start clearing Chakiras and Uncle Maishi, okay? I don't know. What?
He says truly everywhere. Not even everywhere.
I don't know, okay?
It can't be Mashal.
He says, V'cheini kreu b'farsho tamad rasho al pipshu tamimino dol derech ahu k'mo shem chazal tamid toe b'rabot tole. He says, V'hitbonein. V'hitbonein ikarzek yu'amud gadol v'chuma b'tzora b'yard v'siyor la b'siyor. He said, right, understand this, because this is a great wall. V'ata, ata, baruch Hashem yukol chodam alibcha, k'devot b'neinecha, yilach aleftoch, laktamak, l'chol mach tikrat tishma v'chuma b'siyor. This should be an introduction for everything you ever learn, right? V'alecha tolet gadol, v'tiyam imaskir le'yamet, and then you too will be amongst that little group that the Rambam said there aren't so many of you who know the truth. U'makira v'lo ma'abacham al'chei acharei hevel ma'avlim, not those who go after vanity. V'huit barach b'ma'achav yasher ma'agalotav v'yachin sa'adinu l'drokh v'divon ha'amet v'lecha b'rachotav yishmo mivorach amen. Right? And then God will guide us in the proper path. Amen. Right? Summarize, what do we see? Right, so if you remember what we've seen, right, we've seen a lot. He actually did accomplish a lot, right? So, right? So first of all, he says, if you remember, he said, the key to all of Agadah and everything in life is don't believe something just because someone said it. Right, and don't, right? You always have to think about truth. Right, that was his first thing. Right, then he went through what drasha do you have. So he said, first of all, there are things that mean exactly what they say. Right? Then there are things that have two levels, right? A basic level and a deeper level. Right, then there are things that are only pshat, but the pshat is complicated. And then there are things which are purely allegorical. And then there are things which are just like poetic. Right? And then there are things which are exaggerations. Right? So then there's all the stories. He said there's four different types of stories that actually happened. Ones that teach you halacha, ones that teach you ethics, one that teach you philosophy. And ones that teach you about miracles that happened to teach you how great people were. And then there's the stories that didn't happen. Pshuto kimashma, one second, right? There's the dreams. And then there's stories that really did happen, but there's a bit of exaggeration mixed in. And then there are ones that maybe they did happen, but they are formulated in mashal because they can teach you levels of lessons at multiple levels. And then there are ones that have multiple components to it. Now, if you remember, what Rambam basically says, right, and adds to the Rambam, is that he says, look, it's not, the Rambam said that the third group of the people who understand Agadot are literal. The Rambam and Rambam adds, that doesn't mean none of them are literal, right? Some of them really are, right? You have to remember, just because it's a, and to bring it together as we go into Agadot, what Rambam and Rambam is telling you is that the ability to claim that something's an allegory, right? Or the ability to tone down the extreme of certain agadatas by recognizing the value of exaggeration, hyperbole, poetry, right? The ability of not getting caught up in a drasha and saying, how did this come out of the pasuk? It's not pshat. And saying, you know what? Sometimes there's a value to poetry or mnemonics, right? Attaching something to a pasuk for the purpose of... No, a mnemonic is attaching it to something to help you remember. No, a mnemonic is to help you remember.
It's a nice idea.
Right? What's these? The ability to say that, it's not a rule. It's a tool in your toolbox. Right? Meaning, the Rambam and Rambam says, I give you these tools. I tell you that there are all these different types of Agadata, because then you go to an Agadata, and you try to understand it. And at the end, he tells you that it's not always simple, because... Sometimes, what do you look for when you read an Agadata? Right, you look at Agadata, you want to say, is it literal or not? So what are you going to look for? You're going to look for markers that it's, is it fantastic or not? If it's fantastic, oh, the whole thing's a mashal. The whole thing's a dream. Rambam and Rambam tells you it's not even that simple. Because the Agadata within the Gemara may be murkav. Right, they may be made up of different types of Agadata. Right, so it's not just enough to say, "Look, there are certain cues that tip me off that an agadata is not literal." Right, because don't just say, "Oh, there's a one line in an agadata that's not literal."
The whole thing
is not literal. He said that might not be true. There might be part of it that's literal and part of it that's not literal. Right, so you have to judge each part, each component individually. Yeah.
Why does it matter if it's literal or not? Why can't you just get the idea out of it that it's trying to give across?
What do you mean? Why does it matter whether it's literal?
Like, why do we care whether the story actually happened or not? Why can't we just say, oh, why are they bringing this down? Whether it's literal or not, they want to teach
that's a good point, right? I mean, I think it's fair to say that...
Maybe the halacha stuff has to be...
No, the halacha... it is fair to say that, look, at some level, it's fair to say that what do I care whether it happened or not? Right, if we accept the premise that everything Chazal are telling me is to teach me a lesson at some level, ethical, halachic, right, moral, philosophical, theological, whatever, so why am I killing myself to figure out whether it happened or not? Right, I can learn a lesson from the story, whether it happened, whether it didn't happen, doesn't matter. Right, so let's divide that question. Okay, the fantastic stories, it does matter. Right, meaning Rambam and Rambam wants to tell you that it's important to realize that Chazal aren't these crazy people who believe that there are, right, flying camels and, right?
Well, if you're taking an idea out of it anyway, then...
Because at some level, he's saying, because what are you going to do? For some people, they'll look at Chazal and say, oh, they believed in flying camels, they're not smart.
Right,
and it's going to gnaw at you. I mean, what's he telling you? Part of why, at one level, it's important because realistically, right, you could be a big mammon and say, look, I don't care whether it happened, it didn't happen, I want to know what Chazal wanted to teach me. And... so what if Chazal believed in flying camels? If Chazal, right? So first of all, Rambam doesn't like it because first of all, he doesn't want you to believe in things which are false, right? Meaning, you're asking me the opposite question, right? He said, first of all, he needs to tell you that not everything is literal because A, he doesn't want you to be stupid. Right? He says it explicitly. I don't want you to think crazy things. And two, I also don't want you to be cynical about Chazal, right? Right? Meaning he's responding to the two problems with his father. Right, so first of all, it's important to know that not everything is literal so that you don't make fun of Chazal. Right, because what are you going to say? It's going to gnaw at you. Right? Chazal believed in flying camels. Well, I don't believe in flying camels. They must have been crazy. Right? So he tells you, no, they didn't necessarily. Other people will just say, I believe everything in Chazal. He said, that's dangerous also because... Right?
Flying camels.
Right. Now, it's also important to realize that stories matter whether it happened because... at a practical level, I think, he doesn't say this, but at a practical level, what's the danger of thinking that everything is there just to teach you a lesson? What's the danger of it?
Splitting of the Red Sea was allegorical.
So one problem is that, right, you might allegorize everything. Okay. There's also another problem. There's also another problem, which is a very technical problem. It's also a technical problem, which is, When you read a story that happened, right? You know, I don't care. You read a history book. Do you ask, well, why did the Battle of
1776
whatever happen on this territory? What's symbolic about it?
No, but the Gemara.
You don't ask it why.
But it's not history.
Wait, one second. Why? One second. Because Ma'aseh Shehayah Kachaya.
Yeah, right.
Meaning, why am I telling you the story? Yeah. Because it has something to teach you. But if it really happened, right? So there are details in it that are there because
it happened.
It happened, right? Meaning, if I tell you, right, that, you know, Rav Lichtenstein was such a masmid that once he broke his arm, right, and instead of rushing to the doctor, he stood with his arm perfectly still and sat there and learned, right, so he could finish Seder. So that teaches you the values of asmada, how much of a masmid could be, right? But you're not going to start asking, well, what was metaphorical about the arm? Maybe it was his nose. Oh, because the arm, it's like from tefillin, right, that it's on your arm, it represents action, it shows that you're supposed to... No, because that's what happened, right? Like, I don't know, right? When I was in, you know? So, part of it is important to realize that sometimes Chazal tell you stories in a Hanami, they told you real stories could teach you lessons.
Right.
But it is important to know that it happened. Why? Because what happens when you assume everything is allegorical? What do people do?
Sir.
They overread, right? They become... You ever read... Anyone ever torture themselves and read postmodernist English literature deconstructionism, right? Where they'll sit on every little thing, right? Oh, in that story, the word, you know...
Yes.
Yes, oh, it's deeply symbolic of... You go crazy, because every word has a symbolic meaning. Like, they don't recognize that, like... No, sometimes you tell a story, something happened. Sometimes, even if it's not true, you dress it up with words, because, like...
Makes it very...
Right, you don't start asking, like...
What is the mood of the author?
You could ask in the mood, but you don't say. It's not like every name, right? Like sometimes in a book, someone will really be into symbolic names. Like Shai Agnon, you read Shai Agnon. Shai Agnon is always talking, uses symbolic names, and they really are symbolic. Like they really do mean things, right? Like when the protagonist is a Talmud Chacham who tries to come to Eretz Yisrael and then returns to Galus, he names him Yechezkel. Okay, Yechezkel really is the Navi of the Galus, okay, right? When he has an artist... Right, he names him Ben Uri, right? Okay, there's a reason he does that because of Bezalel Ben Uri Ben Hur, right? The person who built the Mishkan, right? Those are symbolic names, but why did J.K. Rowling name Harry Potter Harry? I don't know because he was a common name, right? You can ask why she named Lord Voldemort Tom Marvolo Riddle. Why? Because you rearrange it and it's I am Lord Voldemort. Okay, there is a symbolic meaning to it, right? But there isn't... Okay, correct. But why is it important to know that some things that Chazal tell you actually happened, and then even some of the things that are Mishalim, some of the things there are just poetic, so you don't overread, right? One of the dangers is once you say that everything is not real, it's just a lesson, you start thinking that not only is it there to teach you a lesson, but it's a code. Right, every last one is a code, and every name is symbolic. And sometimes it is, right? Sometimes Agadot are really all written in code, but sometimes it's a mashal that's supposed to teach you a nice moral lesson, and they picked a nice generic name, right? Or they picked a nice generic place, and you have to stop killing yourself, right? So I think the reason, now Rambam Ben Rambam doesn't say it explicitly, but the reason it's important to recognize that some of the stories of Chazal are true, and some of them are never happened, but they're a mashal, and they're poetic, and some of them are written in code and are hidden lessons, is because if it's really a code written in hidden lessons with deep theological messages, then in order to understand it, you've got to crack, right? You've got to crack the code. If it's meant to be a story that actually happened, but the story happens to teach you a good lesson, so yes. Why did Chazal tell it to you? To teach a lesson. But sometimes stories really happen, teaches you a lesson. And then when you tell the story, you tell it as it happened. Right? And this is, you know, when sometimes someone will tell you, why are you asking questions? Akasha and Amaisa. Right? Yeah, don't ask Akasha and Amaisa. Right? Why did that story happen in Modi'in and Shivat and Migdal HaTorah? I don't know, because it happened in Modi'in and Shivat and Migdal HaTorah. Because it did. Right? So it's important to recognize that even when something is there to keep a lesson, there is a difference between things that happen. Because with things that happened, there are accidents. Right? There are things that just happen to be. Right? If things are carefully crafted codes, right? Then you've got to decipher it. Now, certain Agadotot really are like that, and that's what we'll see. Certain Agadotot are mamish written in code, right? And every word, right, is hiding some deep philosophical secret. Certain ones are just stories. Certain ones are not, right? But what Avraham and Rambam is doing, he's giving you a toolbox, right? He's telling you, you've got to understand that Agadotot is complex, and sometimes single Agadotot are made up of different components, right? But he gives you all the tools. Now, admittedly, right, Rav Avraham and Rambam seems to have thought, right, this is very much like the Rambam, right? You have my 9-page, you know, introduction to Agadotot, and now it's all going to be easy from here on in, right? You're going to read Agadotot, you're going to look at it, oh, that one is category 2, subsection 3, I know exactly what that is, right? Elokal kach pashut, right? And the truth is that sometimes Rav Avraham and Rambam himself admits this, right? Certain Agadotot, not much hangs on it. Certain Agadotot, they could be literal because there's nothing about them that tells you they're not literal. They might not be literal, and you can, you know, it doesn't matter one way or the other, right? For many Agadotot, it really does matter, right? But for some, it doesn't.
The story,
right?
the Torah of Shmaya, the whole like walking tree and the walls.
Yeah, so like that one, right? There are certain parts of that probably happened. There was machlokes, right? What exactly it means? Do trees actually walk? Right? Did the walls of the base measure fall down? I don't know, right?
You don't know or not?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Right, but like
shocking. I'm 30, not like 1500 years old, right?
I understand, but like I'm saying, like
I am making no claims, right? Okay, I think. I'm debating next week whether to do more background. I'm thinking that we might do more background later in the year, right? Like as we come to Agadotot that are particularly archetypal, right? That like teach about other ones. we might do another like background shiur, like the question of what I would call what Rechayim Angel very nicely called the conservation of biblical personalities, right? Like why Chazal seem to try to make it that any character that is nameless is someone we already know, and try to make it that a lot of the characters who have names are the same person, right? And why Chazal consistently ascribe Rishus to Rishayim and Tzidkus to Tzadikim and things like that. Right? We could do a shiur on that. We could do that next week. We could also decide that maybe it's time to bring it down to earth and then come back to it and just do the first Agadotot. So I think what we'll do is start the first Agadotot in Avodah Zarah, which is really weird. And then maybe we'll come back to more theory, okay? Minchas in 3 minutes.